Here at The Blessed Business, we believe that Christian business leaders can make a huge positive impact on our world today through business as mission. That is why we are committed to empowering Christian entrepreneurs to launch and grow blessed businesses. For more tools and resources, go to www.theblessedbusiness.com today. And if you are enjoying the content here on the podcast, please share it with someone you know who would appreciate it as well. Thank you and be blessed.
I'm here with Hunter Haley, your host. And today, what are we talking about, Hunter?
Well, today we are actually continuing our conversation based on the book by Dale Carnegie on how to win friends and influence people. Last time we covered some fundamental techniques in handling people in part one, which was three principles. And then today we're going to be talking about part two, six ways to make people like you. I think we could just kind of start off with just a quick recap, Tony, of kind of what we covered, the three principles, what they were, and then we'll kind of dive into today's content.
Sounds good. So part one was fundamental techniques in handling people. And those three principles were, firstly, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. So when you are talking with people, whether they are business contacts or even in your personal life, this is something that you'll want to take and apply, as well as giving honest and sincere appreciation. That's the second principle. The third is arouse in the other person an eager want. So how can we encourage people to do the things that are best, whether for them or for the company, etc.? And so those are the first three principles that we covered last time.
So basically, you want to get people to want to do what you want them to do.
Exactly.
Instead of just telling them that that's what they should do, right?
Yes.
Well, that was a good summary. Thank you, Tony, for that. And today, we're going to be talking about the principles related to six ways to make people like you, because a big part of this is getting people to like you, right?
Right.
That's how you win friends and influence people. If people don't like you, they're not going to stick around very long. And in business, we talk about, I was actually talking about this in, well, I can't say, but there's something coming soon.
Something special.
That some special content we're working on. And I talked about it. I said, you know, really, it boils down. It's very simple. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. And we hear that all the time, but it really is quite that simple. And so getting people to like you is a big part of being successful in your career, in your business, whatever it is, that's a big part of it.
Right. And, you know, sometimes we tend to think of things from just like the end result would be, you know, you want to make people like you because it's going to be better for your business, better for your career, etc. But how do you break that down into steps that are actionable, right? What does that look like? And I think some of these principles here are ways to break that down into things you can actually do, right? Because making people like you is just a really high level goal, right? Like, yeah. I mean, how do you do that, right?
That's a grand aspiration,
yes.
But if you don't turn it into practical steps, then it's just aspirational and it's fun, yep, and exciting and it's good to talk about, but it's not actually actionable.
Exactly, and that's what we're doing with these, going over it.
Well, let's start off with, this is actually the fourth principle. Again, there's, I believe, 30 principles in total. I believe it was 30 principles or 20, I don't even remember. 15, 23.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot. I thought it was 30 principles, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. But this is principle number four. I know it's principle number four because I've got that part numbered here.
Maybe one of our listeners can just keep count at the end.
Yeah, leave a comment somewhere in the interwebs and let us know.
How many principles?
Number four here is become genuinely interested in other people. And I have people mention this to me before of like, okay, aren't you just manipulating people? And I've mentioned this before, but really, when you become genuinely interested in other people, then all of these other things start to make sense. They start to just naturally come about, and it just becomes, you know, second nature for you. But a lot of people struggle with that because they feel like if they act genuinely interested in other people, they're being disingenuous, or however you say it.
Disingenuous. Yeah.
Because they feel like it's manufactured or whatever. But really, that's a fallacy. You have to cross that bridge in your mind. That's the first thing, is you have to say, it's okay for me to act interested in people because I'm I am a person who is interested in other people, or I'm becoming a person who is genuinely interested in other people. Because
right.
we're programmed to be very selfish and self-centered and all that. And so we feel guilty if we are acting it out. But really, if you fake it till you make it, if you act interested in other people, generally you'll find people are very curious and exciting and interesting beings. So if you at least just try it, you'll find that you can generate and actually start to cultivate a genuine curiosity in others.
Yeah, people are interesting. I mean, just people are interesting. So I think sometimes we can think that we have to be interested in the same things that people are interested in.
And that's totally different.
And that's different, right? So someone might be really interested in, you know, I'll just throw something random, golfing, and let's say I'm not, right? But you could still be interested in that person, whether or not you're interested in all the same things that they are interested in. And so really, it's not so much the topic necessarily that you're interested in, but you're interested in the person. And so that topic is just a way to connect with that person. I know a friend, he was in marketing. He is in marketing, actually. And he says that he knows enough to talk about everything for like 5 minutes or something. It's some kind of something he learned somewhere, right? So he could talk about like, you know, golf. He could talk about fishing. He could talk about hunting. He could talk about even stuff he's not really interested in, but he knows just enough information
to carry a conversation.
Yeah. And so that's a good principle. And I think if you're interested in the person, some of that will start to just come natural, you know, to you. So,
well, and that's the thing is cultivating a natural curiosity about others. And if you put others first, I mean, the Bible talks about this, but if you think of others as more important than yourself, I mean, that not lowering yourself,
right?
But in your own mindset, arousing that curiosity of like, well, I'm curious how they feel. I'm curious what they think. I'm curious what they have to say about this. What interests them? And when you start doing that and you start asking questions, it leads to a lot of people, a lot of these other principles we're going to talk about, and it gets to people feeling like, oh, you actually care. You are interested in me, and they open up, and then that opens up a big door of opportunity.
Absolutely.
So what's the next principle? Principle number five of our undetermined length of list here. So what is principle number five?
Principle number five, simple. Smile.
That is simple.
It's a simple but easy to do task. So right now, as I'm saying this, I'm smiling.
And you can tell.
And you can
I'm
tell,
smiling,
hopefully. Right? So
studies, an authentic and genuine smile.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yes. Well, studies show, and I know you've talked about this before, I think, but that even over the phone, there is a noticeable difference when you speak and you're smiling. Like if you answer the phone and it's just, hello, or
yes.
Hello, you know, just the smiling and often that does have an effect also on your tone, you know, just in doing that. So there's some connection, I think, between that, but even over the phone. And so how much more so does that have an impact in person?
Absolutely. Well, and the reason why that makes a it makes sense is because you're communicating something with your body language that people can actually pick up with just verbal cues. So if you're frowning and people can see that visually, but if you're like really aggressive and it actually changes how you talk.
Right.
And
yeah.
And there's something about the subtle shifts, and because it even programs your brain subconsciously to like lower your voice and be like, oh, you're getting really serious and firm.
Yes.
And mainly it's triggered by you frowning. Whereas if instead you smile, it triggers your body to send all the other signals of lightening your voice a little bit, sounding a little bit more chipper, being a little bit more positive frame of mind. And so even if it's just for you, it's helpful.
Yeah.
But it really does translate at a very, very subconscious level. And so when you step up to the counter to ask for a reservation and say, hey, how long is the wait for two? If you're like already anticipating this is going to be a long drawn out process and you're like halfway frowning and scowling,
right?
That translates to me like, how long is the wait? You know, it's like maybe not quite that obvious, but it does translate. And so then that determines, like, well, let's put him at the bottom of the list, because if something up, we're not going to work extra hard to get him bumped up, because,
yeah,
you know, he's a grouch, you know. Whereas if instead you show up, hey, how's it going? I'm Hunter. I'd like to see what the wait is for two. And they say, it's like, oh, okay, well, I know you guys are really busy, but we're in a little bit of a hurry. If there's a chance to move us in, I'd really appreciate it. And then that cha-ching, that smile. And again, you're not trying to manipulate people. That's the whole key with this whole series. And I look back and I actually counted, my count was off on my numbering system. It really is 30. I knew it was 30 principles. I had to verify that. It was messing with me. But and I'm smiling because I'm very happy with myself for figuring that out. But if you take the time to smile genuinely, it's a general metaphor for change your body language.
Right.
It's more than just smiling, but be cognizant of changing your body language to be approachable, to not be condescending, to not be critical and condemning, like we talked about in the first episode, right?
Yeah.
And it starts with your body language.
I think there's even studies that point to the fact that you make better decisions when you're in a good mood, when you're positive, and same for other people around you. So you actually think more clearly when you're in a positive mood versus a negative one. Now, obviously, you could take that too far if you're just overjoyed. You may get into some
things. Pragmatic things here too.
But I think just being positive and just expressing that through a smile, it's going to go a long way.
That's a good start. Anybody can smile.
Anybody can. And it makes sense in any language.
Makes sense in any language, right? You don't have to convert that or translate that or anything.
Like, do a lingo for it.
That's right. And so I think that is a big step in becoming likable. Because, I mean, we could obviously say if someone comes across scowling, you know, disgruntled and frustrated all the time, if that is how your facial and your body expressions come across every time, all the time, are you setting yourself up for failure in the goal, if the goal is for people to like you? Because they're always anticipating either one, this person is going to drain me, or two, they're in a bad mood, they're going to lash out at me, or, you know, there's something negative attached to this person, and I don't want it to rub off on me. There's a dark cloud hovering, and I want to go the other direction. And so smiling is a kind of a simple thing, but it's the start on a journey of reframing your nonverbal cues to give people that clue into, hey, look, I'm actually a cool person to hang out with.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's number six here? What's the next principle we need to think through?
Well, this one is, remember that a person's name is, to that person, the sweetest and most important sound in any language. So using other people's names in conversations personalizes your interactions.
Yes.
And it shows that you have a level of attentiveness, level of respect, and that you're aware of who they are, right? So many times this is easier in like service industries where someone's wearing a name tag, you know?
I use it all the time.
You can just say their name because it's on there. But it's funny that even though that's there, there are a lot of people who do not use their name. You know, if you've ever been in a line at a store or whatnot, there are people that go through that line all day long that don't
take
the time to
speak
their name.
So it stands out when you say something to them. I try to do that. I would say I'm probably almost 80 to 85% of the time, not 100%.
Yeah.
I actually thought about today. I was actually I was at Costco getting gas a little while ago, and I saw the guy's name, and it was Tim. And I almost said, all right, thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. But I was like, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. But I was like, ah, man, there was a missed opportunity.
Right.
And I wasn't even thinking about that we're fixing to do this podcast. But that I've just tried to, if I see that badge, just to say that. And usually when I do, because there's other people there that I have done that, and I'll be like, oh, bye, Mr. Sam, or whatever. And it's like, they just perk up, and it adds joy to their life. And they see you roll up, and they're like, oh, that's that cool guy. You know, I don't even know his name, but there's something magical about it.
And it's simple.
All right. Simple for some people. It's simple.
Well, in that case, it's simple when you have it in front of you.
Yes. When
it's not so simple to remember it, right?
I remember Tim now, but because obviously it's stuck in my brain now. But I can honestly say, and just ashamed to admit this out in front of all the interwebs and everyone else, this is probably one of the hardest things for me. I struggle to remember people's names. I try, I really do. And I'll even add like goofy things in there, like contact info to like try to remember it. I'll try the whole trick of like repeating it back to people. You know, it's like, hey, Bob, nice to meet you, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, so do you, and like you use it, they say if you use it like 3 or 4 times in a conversation, it'll stick. It works about maybe 20% of the time for me. Cause my brain is just like in hyperdrive all the time. I'm an undiagnosed ADHD probably. And so I've done moved on so far past your brain and figure out how to help you start a business.
forgot the name.
That's
altogether.
Just how I'm wired. It's like, how can I get you in business? But anyway,
hi, my name is business. You know what I mean?
That's right. Hi, my name is, I want to start a cleaning company, you know, or whatever.
You can remember it.
I would totally remember it. So that's actually a good idea. Cause I always think of, I think of people in ways of how I can help them be successful in entrepreneurship or their career or whatever, just because I'm wired to help people in that area. But my wife is helping me, but I want to kind of dial it back and be more focused on the person as an individual. And I do sincerely care about them as an individual, but it's like, cause that's an area that I'd like to help people in. It's where I just naturally jump to. And
you
so
go
I've
right
got to keep my mind, you know, focused. So it's kind of like, you know, if someone is trying to make a sale, you know, except I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to help you better yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think, or even like, you know, someone coming to church, you know, it's like, I'm thinking, okay, who can I connect them with? Are they interested in a Bible study? Are they, you know, have they come to church before? I'm like trying to connect all those dots and my mind goes 1,000 different directions.
What are the next steps?
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking progressive and trying to help them genuinely. But really I've learned that the best way to help people is to slow down and actually care about them as an individual.
Right.
And I'll be honest, that's been difficult for me because I've viewed people as a new subject to be able to help, right? This is a new student. This is a new person to help. And that's not healthy. Even though it's birthed out of a sincere desire to help people, people don't know how much, care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right.
Right.
And so I'm working on it. I really care about y'all, you guys. I really do. And if I meet you in person, I will endeavor to remember your name. But I don't, it just was like eye-opening for me to realize that a while back. And I was like, you know what? I need to slow down and focus on caring about people,
mm-hmm.
not just how I can help them or what I can get them to do. Again,
right.
And even though it's a, you know,
it's for their sake,
it's for their
but
benefit.
Still, the way to do it is through relationship, right?
Yes. Because I felt like the way to connect with people is to help them. And I think that was programmed in me maybe as a child, as maybe the oldest sibling.
Yeah.
I've been kind of programmed that way. But
and
really,
it's a good desire to help people.
It is good.
Yeah.
But this kind of leads into a discussion. We're kind of spiraling into a discussion about Emotional Intelligence 2.0, which is a great book, which was very eye-opening for me. But that really helped me think about what am I doing when I'm processing these things and these principles on how to get people to like me, because I would try to help people and they were like, we don't care that you're trying to help us. You're coming across so strong that it's annoying and it's a turnoff and we're going to go over there and hang out with people and like live beneath their privilege and not, you know, do whatever you think we need to do because you're just too aggressive with it. And I remember Pastor told me one time, he said, Hunter, you need to learn, Pastor Caleb Adams, our pastor, he said, you need to learn to measure the dose that people can handle.
Yes.
Because you can give people a whole lot.
Right.
But God's, you know, blessed you in giving you talent and a desire to help people, but you have to measure the dose they can handle.
Yeah, you have to know where they are.
Yes.
You know, in the process. Someone may be ready for the full dose, but someone, you know, maybe on the total other end of the spectrum. And maybe it's just trying to create that desire, right? Like try to, you know, talk to them about what they can do or possibilities. Well, there's maybe someone else who they already know.
Yes.
They've got ideas. They just don't need direction, you know? Right. So maybe they can take the full dose, right? And I think that carries through in so many different areas of life. Even like you mentioned with inviting people to church earlier, you know, where are they in that spectrum? Mm-hmm. Are they ready to come? Or, you know, maybe just connecting with them on a friendship level or when they get to church, are they ready to go up and pray? You know, are they, I mean, there's in all different areas of life, you could see that having that emotional intelligence will help us to judge where they are in the process, and where they are determines what we do.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and that has been huge for me because I believe it was one of my business mentors, but he basically, in so many words, and this is kind of a simple paraphrase, but business moves at the speed of relationships.
Mm, yeah.
And it has taken me years to really get that down in me. And so that's why these principles about becoming genuinely interested in other people, I've been implementing that. And I'm telling you, it made a huge difference when I was curious about other people. But then, and I feel like I'm a smiley, happy person in general. I do try to do that all the time. And I do try to remember people's names. But really, it goes down, all of these come down to slowing down and focusing on the relationship, not the objective. It's not, okay, I want to get your phone number because I want to take you out. Or it's not, I want to get your email so I can sell you on this, you know, new right. product. It's, hey, I want to know more about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know there's other things that could potentially come from that. But if you stop there, I think you've said this before when we were talked about, if you don't have anything positive to say, just stop.
Yeah.
And don't
yeah.
say anything. Well, kind of the opposite is, I mean, the other flip side is true, is if you have a whole lot of good things to say, but you don't take the time to pause and they feel that, okay, this person, you don't take time to make that connection. It doesn't yes. lock in. Everything you say after that may be gold, but it totally, you dumped it into a bucket with holes.
Yep.
It didn't
falls
mean
on
anything.
Deaf ears.
Yes.
Yeah. That kind of segues into the next topic or the next principle, which is be a good listener. Encourage others to talk
Another
about
big
themselves.
Struggle of mine.
Well, I think it is for a lot of people
yes.
just because we're programmed, even like if a situation is a little bit awkward or there's no one's talking, we feel like we need to fill in the gaps,
yes.
right? So what do you talk about? Sometimes you just talk about, you know, whatever's going on with you just to try to smoothen things out. But I think being a good listener is an art, you know. It's something we all have to work on. And
well, I think it starts with being a good question asker.
Yes.
And I think you do a really good job of this, Tony. I've seen you in so many different situations and you're like, oh, so how does that make you feel? Or like, what did you think? Or like, you know, what do you think about X, Y, and Z? Or, you know, like you've always got a question and then you do a great job of just like stopping and listening. And I want to employ more of that into my own life. I want to definitely grab a hold of that. And it's amazing when you let people talk,
mm-hmm.
what comes out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it wasn't in the book, but there are some things that you can ask people to help get conversations started mm-hmm. or those
get
are,
people talking
yeah,
about
like,
themselves. Yeah.
Those are who questions, what questions, when, where, how, why, right? And then, mm-hmm. you know, who else, the else's. So, you know, what else, right? So those are all, and obviously you don't just literally throw that out, what else, you know? But I mean, it can work. But those are just like some things you can talk mm-hmm. about. And if you go even a little bit further, they say what is known as elicitation is better than questioning too.
Oh, okay.
You
tell
can
me more.
Lead somebody in, you know, I could think of an example, but like, well, it sounds like you're really interested in golfing or versus, are you interested in golfing? Right.
So it's more of a yes, no. Whereas the other one is just kind of leads you
yes.
into, I like
It's like,
that.
Well, yes, I am because,
I'm taking notes,
you
yeah.
know, so those are just some things that, that can help you be a good listener, because many times to be a good listener, so the other person has to talk,
yes.
right? So how do you get them talking?
Yes.
And so good questioning results in good listening
mm-hmm.
if you can ask the right questions.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, number 8 is talk in terms of other people's interests. And I think some of these kind of, and we can probably kind of speed through some of the rest of these because they kind of lead into one another. And again, once you get those first couple ones down, it just kind of builds a foundation for this. But talk in terms of other people's interests. If you've been a good listener and asked them good questions, they're like, oh, so it seems like you like to travel.
Right. I do.
And they do that. Then when they start talking about all the places they've been, well, what did you find the most interesting? You know, what about this? What
yes.
about that? it really opens up a whole new world to keep the conversation engaging because they're talking about themselves. And it may lead into, it's like, oh yeah, and I had this business, a meeting with this business person, and we were talking about this, that, and the other. And it's like, oh, really? Well, so tell me more. Seems like that you have a product that you would like to sell and I could help you sell it better. You know, anyways, from the context of business, it opens up opportunities that you didn't know existed because you didn't take the time to really learn about them, but you let them basically expose all their cards and say, aha, I can pick this one and this one, not to manipulate, but say, I can serve you here or I can serve you there without just assuming.
Yeah, I love learning about business. I love learning about people. I just love learning, right? So when you're realizing that each person is an opportunity to learn something too, right? You're learning about them. Yes. You're learning about what they do. It makes talking in terms of their interests easier because you're just learning, right?
Yes.
No matter what it might be. And there may be something even in an area where you're not interested, but you'll find out something that you are interested in, right?
Yes.
So I try not to shut off things, even if I'm like, oh, I already heard about this, right?
Yes.
And you can easily do that. I've seen that happen where someone's like, oh, I already know about that. Like, I've heard about that story. Or, well, I mean, there's maybe times and places to do that. But most of the time, if you just keep listening, you may hear something
totally
new about
it.
And like, you thought you knew. And many times that's happened to me where I've been like, oh, I know what this is about. Well, but I hear something new.
And you're like, oh, wait, I missed that part before.
Yeah, it's a good thing I didn't shut them down,
yes.
right? Because I learned something, so.
Well, and I think that leads into point number nine, principle number nine here, which is make the other person feel important. I mean, just doing the things we talked about, becoming genuinely interested in them, letting them know that, smiling and have good, you know, demeanor and bodily, you know, your interactions with them, and then remembering their name, being a good listener, and talking in terms of their interests will make them feel important. However, to really put the icing on the cake, have genuine acknowledgement of other people's worth can really boost their self-esteem and make them feel like not only did you listen and care, but you think I'm important.
Right.
You think what I'm doing is important. Oh, so you've traveled. Wow, that is incredible. That has probably made you a much more well-rounded and knowledgeable person about the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just kind of seals it to where you didn't just ask the question. They're like, yeah, it was worth the investment to travel around the world and do whatever. Or, you know, you really do know a lot about, I say this all the time. If I see someone who's been in business for a long time or does something, I had a closing attorney on a real estate deal, and he was talking about how he's been doing this for like 40 something years, 30 or 40 years. And I was like, well, it takes 10 years to become an expert. So you're an expert like three or four times over, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
It just like made him so, he was beaming,
right?
Because I acknowledge and made his expertise and made him feel super important. And you know what? That closing went so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were buying, it was their first time to buy. So they were kind of a little bit nervous. So just putting a few things out there, both for them and for him, that just set the whole room at ease instead of just sitting there kind of twiddling our thumb and like awkwardly signing all these papers and they're giving away tens of thousands of dollars, you know?
Right.
And so you can use that to soften business transactions. And now, I mean, it's they felt very, very good about the transaction and he did. And if I ever have to go back to him or if he's going to send referrals, who is he going to know, like, and trust?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be me.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
I've set myself up for that because I genuinely applied these principles.
Mm-hmm. You were interested and you made him feel important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the ways we can do that is asking people's opinion or getting their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's
even
true.
If somebody isn't, for instance, in a corporate setting, they may not be the decision maker. Maybe you're the decision maker.
Sure.
But just getting feedback kind of loops them in on the process. Maybe they give a good idea. Maybe you use the idea. Well, you give them credit for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes them feel important, and it also increases their importance in the eyes of others too.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're affirming their value by doing that. And so that's something that you can take some action on that one too. Versus just the overall, you know, make them feel important. That's one of the ways you can do it.
Well, I know one way that that you guys out there listening could make us feel really important. Yes. Not that we need to feel important. We don't need a bigger head than we've already got probably, but Tony would really appreciate it. I'm going to throw him under the bus here. He would really appreciate it if you would both subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, but then share it with a friend. If there's someone out there that you know that would appreciate these principles that we're talking about and all the things we're talking about on the Blessed Business Podcast, we would greatly appreciate for you to share. That's how we grow organically. Mm-hmm. And that would make us feel appreciated when we see those things, both on our social media and on our podcast being shared and more people listening to it. It's not vain metrics, but we know we're helping people, especially we've got some big things coming out in just a few days, if not just a week or two, that's going to really help a lot of people, hopefully a lot of you guys, and put some tools and resources in your hands to go to the next level. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, just stay tuned.
But just stay tuned, and there'll be some things coming out pretty soon that we want as many people as possible to grab a hold of, because I believe that these principles will help. The business as mission principles we talk about, and the entrepreneurship, and the getting a better job, and developing your vocation, and advancing your career, and expanding your finances, all these things, when you tie it back to mission, when you connect money mm-hmm. to mission and advancing the mission of Christ and the kingdom of God, then we're all in this together, creating something absolutely wonderful. We're creating a movement that is advancing the kingdom of God. And it's such a big blessing. So the more people that can join on,
right.
get on this bandwagon, the better. And it's very simple to do. All you have to do is share it, tag us on social media, be sure to be subscribed and encourage someone else to do it. And we really, really do appreciate, sincerely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you tuning into these episodes. And thank you, Tony, again for being here with me, co-hosting this podcast with me. And we really enjoy these conversations, and hopefully you do too.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Glad to do it. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to this episode of the Blessed Business Podcast. For more tools and resources, go to www.theblessedbusiness.com today. Thank you, and tune in next time.